Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word, as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online to our website, www.equip.org. Register soon, as cabins are limited. Welcome, and thanks for joining us for today's installment of the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. We're glad you tuned in. We welcome your input, too. Join us by calling 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. If you haven't done so already, check out on the World Wide Web at equip.org the 2010 CRI National Conference Battle for the Bible. It takes place May 7th and 8th. It's in Tampa Bay, Florida at the beautiful Innisbrook Resort. Special activities for the entire family. Early registration for the conference begins at an incredibly low rate of just $49 per person. Again, check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org or just call 877-768-2784, extension 100. If you can't remember that, you get the number on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And do remember, we are urging you this year as we're tackling the problem of biblical illiteracy to get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you. Just today, finished reading the book of Job. And the very last chapter of Job begins with Job speaking to God. And what does Job say? He says, I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. And I was thinking about just those words as I started the broadcast, listen now, and I will speak. Well, you can listen to God speak as you read His Word, but you can also listen to God speak as you hear His Word. We have one of the most extraordinary resources available through the Christian Research Institute. It's called the Word of Promise Audio Bible. It is the full Bible, over 600 voices, sound effects, theater for the mind. There's absolutely nothing on the planet like it. And one of the great joys I have is to see my children become addicted, not to drugs, not to promiscuity, but addicted to the Bible, loving its words, immersing themselves in its words. And if you are not in the Legacy Reading Plan program this year, you can start right now. You can start exactly where you are. Just ask for the Legacy Reading Plan. Again, you can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. A lot of you hanging on, the number to dial to get your question answered on air, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. First up, Debbie, listening in Santa Rosa, California on KFAX. Hi, Debbie.
Hi. I just wanted to ask how I could respond to my sister who is listening to a Jehovah's Witness at her door. I believe my sister is a believer and knows the truth, but she seems to enjoy spending time with this woman. And I wanted to know how I should respond to her, obviously, besides praying for her and speaking God's truth to help her. What would you suggest?
Well, you know, obviously, if you are an equipped Christian, you have a mission field on your doorstep, someone that you can reach and someone that you do not want to repel. However, if you are not a grounded Christian, the Jehovah's Witness can run circles around you because they know a little plan and pattern. And as long as they are within that plan and pattern, they can absolutely turn a Christian into a doctrinal pretzel in just a short period of time. So, again, it depends on your sister. If she's equipped and knows the difference between truth and error, she can use this as an opportunity not only to reach someone, but to grow in her ability to communicate the love and truth and peace that only comes through Jesus Christ. Not the Jesus of the Watchtower Organization. He's a false Jesus because they teach their devotees that the Trinity is a freakish-looking three-headed God and that Jesus is merely a God and that Jesus was created by God as the Archangel Michael during his earthly sojourn was a mere human being, and then after his crucifixion was recreated an immaterial spirit creature. So they have a different God and a different Jesus and a different plan of salvation, and in fact teach that God has two peoples. He has an earthly people and a heavenly people. 144,000 get to make it to heaven. The others who embrace Watchtower theology get to make it to earth. So they have a false idea of what salvation is in general. So again, they're a mission field on your doorstep, but you've got to be equipped to take advantage of that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. If some of the questions that I'm asking her, and it sounds like she's getting answers that don't sound like what you've just described, is it possible, it sounds kind of funny, but is it possible that they could be lying to hear what, to say what she wants to hear, and then, or would they not do that?
No, they do that. They use our language, Christian language, and they pour their own meanings into the words. Mm-hmm. So the issue is not Jesus, because they'll invoke the name Jesus. The question is, what is the meaning that they pour into that word? And as I've just explained, their Jesus was created as an angel, mm-hmm. and during his earthly sojourn was a human. Mm-hmm. And then after his death becomes an immaterial spirit creature. So they have a different Jesus, a different gospel, a gospel of works, not a gospel of grace. Mm-hmm. And they have a different eternity to look forward to. They look forward and communicate a completely different idea of what salvation means.
Okay.
But it's absolutely true, Debbie. They use our language. They pour their own meaning. I mean, that's why we have to learn to scale the language barrier.
Mm-hmm. But how do I approach her in a way that doesn't seem judgmental? Because I've invited her to our church and to Bible study.
Who is her?
My sister.
Well, and if your sister's not a believer.
No, I believe she is a believer. I just don't understand why or, you know, she's still communicating with this person because she enjoys, and she is reading. I gave her an NIV Bible, and she's reading the Bible. She's reading it on her own as well. So I know she's she has faith, and I, you know, from just long conversations, I know she's a believer. I guess my concern is how can I, you know, challenge her and say this really isn't right that you're talking to these people?
Well, it is right that she's talking to those people. If she's a believer, she can use this as an opportunity to reach someone who is misguided. Because as believers, we're not just called to worship God through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the word. As believers, we're also called to witness. We're called to communicate the love and joy and peace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. So she has a responsibility to be a witness for Christ. The question for Christians is not whether we are called to be witnesses, but whether we're going to be good witnesses, in this case, to the witnesses.
Okay. Thank you for your help.
You got it, Debbie. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Adam in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Adam.
Hello. How you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, I'm blessed. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I was talking to someone that's in a ministry that just started not too long ago. And we were talking the other day, and she said that she don't really believe that everybody want go to heaven, you know. And I said, well, in the scriptures, it says something different, you know. She said, well, she threw the scripture at me saying, what? Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord.
Yeah, to the glory of God. But look, here's the deal with that. There are people who are going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and they are going to go to heaven, and those who are going to make that confession as an agonizing cry before they're separated from God for all eternity. Remember that you always want to read a letter in full, because Paul in Philippians is making a sustained argument, and he points out that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. So Paul could not have made it more clear in context that he's not talking about the universal salvation of all people. Some will say Jesus is Lord before they enter the environs of a new heaven and a new earth for all eternity, and some before they are cast away from his presence, his loving presence, for all eternity. Coming up to station break, we'll be right back on the other side of the break with more of your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which reaches millions of people. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers answers to over 170 questions that typically stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Get your copy of this 550-page leather hardbound book packed with answers you need to more of today's challenging questions about the Bible and Christianity when you call 888-7000-CRI. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy. Order on our secure website at www.equip.org. We'll return to the program in just a few moments.
Want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to John listening on KFAX. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y, or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith. It's like including Hank in your Bible studies. Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
This groundbreaking special edition of the Christian Research Journal focuses on a reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Is it cultic, aberrant, or just different? This special edition of the journal includes Elliot Miller's incisive analysis of the doctrine of the Trinity over and against the heresy of modalism. Also enjoy our regular departments like effective evangelism, reviews such as Dr. Stephen Meyer's important book, Signature in the Cell, our viewpoint regarding abortion and the healthcare debate, and our ever-popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Join Hank Hanegraaff and top apologist Lee Strobel, Dr. James White, Steve Kreloff, and others as they challenge the skeptics at CRI's national conference, The Battle for the Bible. Worship led by Grammy Award-winning musician Steve Camp. Highlighting this event will be a debate moderated by Hank between Dr. James White and Jesus Seminar scholar Dr. Robert Price. The subject is The Bible True. Plan now to attend The Battle for the Bible, a spectacular event you will not want to miss, May 7th and 8th in Tampa, Florida. For more information, visit us at equip.org or call 877-768-2784, extension 100. Now back to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And back to your questions. Ava, listening in Raleigh, North Carolina, is up next. Hi.
Hi. My stepmother is a Christian Scientist. How do I pray for her salvation?
Well, I think if you have an opportunity, you want to share the gospel with her, or certainly pray that God would bring people into her life so that she could come to a true valuation of things, because this whole system, which was founded by Mary Baker Eddy, is rooted in metaphysical theology, and it's just a very twisted idea of reality. They don't believe in the Trinity. They believe that God is impersonal. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. They believe instead in what's called the Christ principle. Within Christ was divinity. And they think that sin is an illusion just as sickness is an illusion. So it's a very dangerous, twisted paradigm on reality. And one of the things that we're always saying here, Eva, is we want people to be so familiar with the truth that when a counterfeit like Christian Science looms on the horizon, they know it instantaneously. That takes knowing the truth. Now, if you're a believer, you have a responsibility to communicate that to her, but it's very hard to do that with friends and family members. And so you can also pray that God would bring people and circumstances into her life so that she comes to a true valuation of things. Because she's living in a dream world. It's a world that does not correspond to truth or reality. In fact, it's an extraordinarily dangerous world, because if you deny something like sickness or you deny sin, then you cannot have the solution to either of those problems. The first reality in Christianity is to recognize sin and to know I am a sinner and I need desperately a Savior.
Yes. That's true.
So in terms of how to pray, Ava?
Yes.
Pray that God will bring people and circumstances into her life so she'll come to a
into her life. Right.
Yes, so that she'll come to a true valuation of things. Because right. God has used people as the instruments of his grace, right?
Right?
So God can put people and circumstances into her life such that she reaches out for truth. And pray also that God gives you the opportunity to share with humility, gentleness, and respect the grace that Jesus Christ has shown you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You got it, Ava. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Lewis in Nashville, Tennessee next. Hi, Lewis.
Yes, hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Good talking to you.
Yeah, I've been listening to you for about a year, first time calling, so I'm a little nervous. But my question is, you know, obviously all of us living are, we were born sinners, but when Adam and Eve were created, they were created perfect beings and already being in the presence of God. Why do they still choose to sin?
Yeah, that's a good question. Why did they choose to sin? Well, we can't answer that question. What we can say is this, that God created Adam and Eve perfect, but with that perfection, he gave them volition. In other words, he gave them the will to choose. And had he not done that, they would not have had the capacity of love. If they were merely robots, then love would not have been meaningful, but they were not robots. They were volitional beings. They had choice, and therefore they could choose to follow God or choose to rebel and do it their own way. Now, why they would rebel and do it their own way is a difficult question to ask, and it's a question that we have to ask ourselves every single day. Because we too, even as believers, have choices before us each and every day, and yet so often we make the wrong choice, the choice that is diametrically opposed rather than in concert with the will of God. Why do we do that? As believers, we have a knowledge of God. We have not only heard about him, but we know him, and we're depending on him for eternal life, and yet we sin. Hard to explain. But again, the will does matter. Our choices do matter. And in the case of Adam and Eve, their choices made an incredible difference because as a result of their choice, the whole world was cast into sin, decay, destruction, and ultimately death.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I guess one thing that is still in my mind is if, you know, to me, Adam and Eve were already where all of us want to be in heaven, in the presence of God, and one day we will be there. So are we going to be able to not sin once we're in heaven again? Or
yeah, we will have made, see, this is the beautiful thing about what I talked about earlier, will or volition. We will have made an eternal choice, the choice to follow Jesus Christ. Now, in this life, you and I have made the choice to follow Jesus Christ. If that is the case, then we will continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we'll become more Christ-like as Jesus Christ changes us from the inside out. And what is happening to us in this life will culminate in a time in which we are not just positionally declared righteous before God, but we are practically righteous before God, and we will forever be able not to sin. In other words, it is inconceivable in this life that we would turn away from God. it's even more inconceivable that we would do it in the life to come, because then we will have requisite knowledge. And as I said, we will forever be able not to sin, and our love for God will have grown to a completeness that we can only in shadows anticipate now.
Okay. All right. That sort of answers my question. I guess I still struggle with the thought that, it, you know, when we're in heaven, we won't be, you know, I understand what you just said, but we'll still have that inclination to sin.
No.
It's just that we will be able to not sin.
Like yeah, not I mean, right think about this for a moment. When Jesus Christ returns, he's going to forever do away with the problem of Satan. In other words, there's not going to be a tempter. He's going to do away with the world, the flesh, and the devil. So the whole notion of those temptations are no longer going to be real. Not only that, but we will have communion with God. Can you imagine ever turning away from God now, Lewis?
No, never.
Could you imagine if you were in the presence of God in his effulgence of glory that you would ever turn away from him?
Right, yeah.
I mean, that you're not going to have less knowledge of him. You're going to have more knowledge of him then than you do now. But you've made an eternal decision. And here's the thing you have to always recognize, Lewis. Eternity doesn't start when you die. It starts now. You're still a sinner now, but eternity starts now. And in the new heavens and the new earth, you will be practically righteous, so you'll have no inclination towards sin. You'll only have an inclination towards God.
Okay. All right. I guess that does kind of connect it, but to me, Adam and Eve were already there, and they still sinned. I guess, I don't know, I suppose those are one of the questions that I've researched, and I really never found the reason why they were already living before God and talking to God and seeing God the way we don't have that now. They still yet chose to sin. But
and that again, will bring about the best of all worlds, a world in which we will forever be able not to sin. I wrote about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. By the way, I want to mention in the last just few seconds we have before going to break that we have a March appeal, a flip chart for your gift to the ministry this month. We need your support this month. We've gone on a lot of stations. Stand with us prayerfully and financially. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. I'll be right back with more of your questions.
Easter is just a few weeks away, and do you know what the celebration is really all about? It's more than colored jelly beans and Easter bunnies. Understanding the facts of Christ's resurrection will radically change the way you view Easter, and indeed the way you live your life. For without the reality of Christ's resurrection, there is no hope of heaven, and there is no Christianity. Author Hank Hanegraaff, host of the Bible Answer Man, zeroes in on the most convincing details that irrefutably point to the actual death of Jesus, his empty tomb, and post-resurrection appearances. After reading this book by Hank, you'll be able to defend the reality of the resurrection with passion and precision. You can order Resurrection online at equip.org or by calling our resource consultants at 888-7000-274. If you're leaving us now, you can catch more of the Bible Answer Man on our website at equip.org. For everyone else, stay with us. We'll be back after this short break. Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship.
Considering it's Mother's Day, a great time to honor your mom and husbands, to honor your wives. bring them on a great vacation. Let them relax in the beautiful Caribbean sunshine.
To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online at equip.org.
Join us this year for the trip of a lifetime.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
Our passion and purpose at the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers worldwide with the truth about cults, culture, and Christianity, so that when faced with distortions of the truth or false teachings, it is instantly recognizable. But we need ministry partners to both pray for our work and to partner with us financially. Would you consider joining the Bible Answer Man support team? These monthly donors are the backbone of our financial support for our broadcasts, publications, and outreach activities. To stand with these dedicated ministry partners, call CRI today at 888-7000-274. You can also join the support team or find out answers to your questions by going to our safe and secure website at equip.org. We now return to today's program. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks very much, Randy. As always, the number to dial to get your question on air, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. And do remember, for your gift to the ministry this month, we have the resurrection flip chart. It's laminated 4x6. You can put it in your pocket or purse. It has the acronym FEAT, which gives you the DNA for the greatest event or feat in the annals of recorded history. Of course, that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which ensures your resurrection as well. Know why you believe and what you believe with respect to the resurrection. Available for your gift to the ministry. Check it out again on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, let's go to the phone lines. Denise, listening on WTBN in Pinellas Park, Florida. Hi, Denise.
Hi. I was reading Job,
yeah.
And it mentioned in Job that the sons of God appeared to God, and then Satan came afterwards.
Yeah.
And also I read it in Genesis 6:2 and Genesis 6:4. So my question is, who are the sons of God?
Well, it depends. As I've said many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, words are not univocal, they're equivocal. They take on the meaning that the context allows them to have. And the context in Genesis is that the sons of God are fallen people who are depraved. It simply refers to the godly descendants of Seth and the daughters of men to the ungodly descendants of Cain. So sons of men can mean depraved men, or in the context here of Genesis, it can refer to godly men and women. Now, of course, the sons of God, referring to the godly descendants of Seth, and daughters of men to ungodly descendants of Cain, is such that the flood comes and destroys all of humanity.
Oh, okay.
Because humanity had become just that evil. Now, if you look at Job, mm-hmm. it's very interesting because it really depends again on what you're talking about. Because Job 1, you have the sons of God being fallen angels. In Job 38, the sons of God are clearly not fallen angels because they rejoice in God's grandeur. So they are angelic beings not tarnished by Satan's rebellion. So you always have to read that phrase in the context in which it is being used.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Context,
so you're
saying
in
context,
Job 1,
context.
6, they're fallen angels?
Yes. Yes, here you have the angels come to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also comes with them. Satan is a fallen angel. Now, we don't know that the sons of God, in terms of the angels themselves, would be fallen. Because, as I said, if you read Job 38, you see a clear indication that the sons of God are used for angels who are not fallen. So again, the context determines how this is used. We know Satan, one of the angels that presents themselves before the Lord, is fallen, but we don't know that all the angels are fallen, because what we know from Scripture, and this is a theological deduction from Scripture, is that one-third of the angels fell with Satan.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So again, you always have to read
everything.
The words in context, because there are people that will read Genesis 6 and say these are angels, and these angels had sex with women.
Right, that's what I was thinking, yeah.
Well, that has all kinds of attendant problems. First of all, angels are non-physical, and therefore one wonders how they can have sex. Secondly, if an angel had sex with a woman in ancient Israel's history, why could that not happen today? And here's another problem. If, in fact, an angel has the capacity to take on human form, then the words of Jesus Christ would have been rendered null and void, because he said that a spirit does not have flesh and bone, as you see that I have. So Jesus is making the argument, no, this is really me. It can't be a demon masquerading as me, as one of the potential possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is really me. Because demons can't take on form. Now, God can cause an angel to take on form, because God has created power, creative power. But Satan certainly cannot do that.
All right, thank you.
You got it. And I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. Which is a resource available through our ministry.
I'll have to get it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you, Denise. Appreciate your question today. Thank you. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Matthew next in Connecticut. Hi, Matthew.
Hi. How you doing, Hank? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So, yeah, I just have a question. It's in Mark chapter 13. It's verses 31 and 32.
Yeah.
And it's where the disciples are asking when Jesus is about the end. And Jesus says, about the day or the hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. So I've heard a lot of people answer that the reason Christ didn't know is based upon him emptying himself. So I wanted to ask basically a two-part question. One, if you agree with that, that that would be the reason Christ wouldn't know.
Well, Christ is speaking from the perspective of humanity. You know, Christ was still undiminished deity. He took on the limitations of humanity. So Christ, from his perspective of divinity, certainly did know. But the point here in context is that humans don't know. Only God knows.
Okay. Okay. Now, the other part was a lot of people make the argument that when Jesus says no one, being that we're Trinitarians and we believe the Holy Spirit is a distinct person, he would be implicitly included in
being no one. No, he wouldn't be included. He'd be included in the category of God. In other words, the point here again is that humans don't know, only God knows. You got to remember, if Scripture is an interpreting Scripture, in 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says that the Spirit teaches all things, even the deep things of God. And he goes on to say, who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God.
Okay.
So the notion that the Spirit could not know is refuted by Scripture itself. And the point of the passage is Jesus, speaking from the perspective of his humanity, is saying human beings don't know. Only God knows.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But I see what you're saying, but I could see like a Jehovah's Witness or somebody saying, well, we don't believe the Holy Spirit is the Father, and he specifically referenced the Father. So I could just, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and the Holy Spirit is not the Father, and you can rightly say you can see a Jehovah's Witness use this because they do. But what needs to be explained here is exactly what I told you, which is that Jesus is saying that God knows, human beings do not know. That's what he's saying here. He's not even saying he does not know, because remember, Jesus voluntarily takes on the limitations of humanity and only uses his divinity at the direction of the Father. But he is not devoid of divinity. He can use his divinity and is inextricably one person who is human and divine. So he's two natures. And he has not divested himself of a single attribute of deity. So he knows from the perspective of his divinity, but not from the perspective of a human nature that has voluntarily taken on the limitations of humanity.
Okay.
That's the point. Got to leave it at that. Thanks for the good question, Matthew. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more of your questions. Please don't touch that dial. Remember, the number is always to dial in your call. 888-ASK-HANK. Be right back.
Hank Hanegraaff has created the perfect tool to build and pass along your spiritual heritage. It's the Legacy Study Bible, designed to give you some of the same insight and understanding you receive from Hank on the Bible Answer Man program. The book introductions are all written by Hank using his well-known acronym, LEGACY, which stands for Location, Essence, Genre, Author, Context, and Years. With timelines, charts, an extensive concordance, four-color maps, and much more, the Legacy Bible is available only through CRI. Order your copy today. Also, for $250, you can get a personalized edition from Hank. Just call 888-7000-274 or look for it online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. The Bible Answer Man will continue. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. This groundbreaking special edition of the Christian Research Journal focuses on a reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Is it cultic, aberrant, or just different? This special edition of the journal includes Elliot Miller's incisive analysis of the doctrine of the Trinity over and against the heresy of modalism. Also enjoy our regular departments like effective evangelism, reviews such as Dr. Stephen Meyer's important book, Signature in the Cell, our viewpoint regarding abortion and the healthcare debate, and our ever-popular Ask Hank. Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
The resurrection is not merely important to the Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity.
Human history was changed forever by what happened on that third day.
The Third Day by Hank Hanegraaff defends the resurrection of Jesus Christ in meticulous detail. It contains authentic evidence and factual proof for the resurrection, from Christ's torment on the cross to the empty tomb to his appearances and transformation. If you need tangible proof that the Christian faith is based on evidence and not mere emotion, this resource will be an immense help to you.
Belief in the resurrection is not a blind leap into the dark, but faith founded on fact.
The Third Day by Hank Hanegraaff, available in hardbound or CD. Call 888-7000-CRI to order. 888-7000-CRI. Find out more by going to our website at www.equip.org.
Is there scientific evidence for intelligent design? Are scientists being silenced for advocating it? Those questions and more are explored in the provocative new documentary movie, Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, starring actor and writer Ben Stein.
91% of Americans believe that we were created by God, yet that belief has been completely shut out of any scientific discussion of the origins of life in schools. But new science is showing astounding evidence of a designer, and that science needs to be seen and heard.
Expelled exposes the modern-day witch hunt in which scientists and teachers are persecuted for questioning the theory of evolution. Stein confronts the world's leading atheists and Darwinists and uncovers their hidden agenda to suppress the new science that points to evidence of a creator. Expelled.
Order Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, featuring Ben Stein on DVD from CRI by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
Most Christian families in America spend more time preparing for Christmas than preparing for Easter. Yet the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is the defining event in all of human history. This month, for your gift to the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you his Feet flip chart. Pocket-sized and color-coded for easy reference, this new resource will give you a complete defense of Christ's death and resurrection. Don't delay. Order your copy and learn to confidently defend the good news of our resurrected Christ. You can order your laminated flip chart today by going online to equip.org or by calling one of our resource consultants at 1-888-7000-CRI. Now back to more of your questions and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Before we go back to our callers, a quick note that we're calling this March Madness not in the basketball sense. If you follow basketball, college hoops, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But we're talking about March Madness in the sense of the Christian Research Institute having extended its reach in radio quite broadly over the last month. And therefore, we need people to stand with us prayerfully and financially so that we can sustain broadcasts throughout the United States and Canada, indeed around the world. And we're asking people to stand with us as we continue to communicate the gospel in a world gone mad. We do give you, for your donation to the ministry, the flip chart that was mentioned, Resurrection, the greatest feat in the annals of recorded history. So for your gift, we'll send that out to you. Please stand with us prayerfully and financially. If you want to order other resources that I talk about on the broadcast, you can always check them out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines, Donald, listening on Salem Broadcasting in South Carolina, XM 170. Hi, Donald.
Hi, Hank. How you doing today?
I'm well, thank you.
I heard a broadcast by you some time ago where you talked about Pastor T.D. Jakes and also Joyce Myers.
Mm-hmm.
You gave specific examples of really they question his deity. Specifically, Joyce Myers talked about when Christ went into the underground that she talked about him having to fight his way out in order to escape hell. And I'm looking for a resource because people have some real different ideas about Joyce Myers, and they don't believe that she would be questioning the deity of Christ. Can you help me?
Yeah, I've written a book called Christianity in Crisis, and I think what you're talking about is her claim in a publication titled The Most Important Decision You Will Ever Make. her claim that Jesus was in the grave 3 days, and during that time he entered hell, and he paid the price for our sin there, according to Joyce Meyer. In fact, she goes on to say that he became the first born-again man. The Bible calls him firstborn among many brethren. He was the first, so that now you can be one of many brethren. Of course, the concept of being born again applies solely to sinful humanity. It does not apply to Jesus Christ. So two problems here. One is Jesus Christ did not finish the work of atonement in hell, as Joyce Meyer claims. Two, he was not born again in the sense that she claims he was born again. In reality, firstborn does not mean born again. From a biblical standpoint, it denotes primacy, headship, preeminence, prime position. And therefore, we call biblically David the firstborn, because he was in the preeminent or prime position, and not because he was the first of Jesse's sons. In fact, he was the last of Jesse's sons. So serious misunderstandings and misinterpretations of Scripture on the part of Joyce Meyer. But in terms of the resource with all the available documentation, my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, you can get it through the World Wide Web at equip.org, bookstores everywhere. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you speak to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Back to the phone lines. Glenn next in Washington. Hi, Glenn.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm well. Good talking to you.
I have a question about the resurrection.
Uh-huh.
Are we going to have to go to the bathroom throughout eternity?
Well, I don't know. I know that you're going to be the same physically, but different organizationally, and I don't know how that will be. So I don't know exactly how you will look, but I do know this, that your DNA is going to develop in such a way that you will be the perfect you, because there will not be the constraint of sin and destruction and decay. So there's not going to be any devolution that takes place, as is what happens to human beings in this time-space continuum. But how exactly you will operate in the new heavens and the new earth, I cannot tell you. I can tell you you'll be fully human in that you'll have a body and a soul. I can't tell you exactly what that will look like in the new heavens and the new earth, nor can I shout loudly where the Bible doesn't speak. So it would be conjecture on my part, conjecture that I simply don't have an answer to.
Didn't Christ say that we would be like angels?
Well, there's always a context, isn't it? When Jesus said we would be like angels, he was speaking specifically and directly in the sense that we will not marry or be given in marriage. In other words, earth is the breeding colony, heaven is the homeland. So, no, he didn't speak about being like the angels in the sense that we're going to be non-physical. He was speaking about being like the angels in that our relationships will not be similar to the relationships we have on earth. They'll be better. Again, I can't cash that out because the Bible simply doesn't speak there. I can only assert that, and we look through this glass dimly, then we're going to know the reality of what we will be like. But I do know we're going to be physical, right? I mean, that's what the Bible says. You can't miss that. If you miss that, you've missed an essential of the historic Christian faith, which is to say, we're not Platonists. We're not Platonic. We believe in the physical resurrection.
I don't, because Paul said that we would flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah, and again, you have to learn how to read the Bible for all it's worth. It is true that as a mortal person, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. You're going to be immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And when Paul in the same passage talks about a spiritual body, he's not speaking about a non-physical body. He's speaking about a body that is dominated by the Spirit, not a body that's corrupted by the evil in this world. So spiritual body does not mean non-physical body. Just like if I say my Bible is a spiritual book, I'm not suggesting it's not a physical book.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. You got to learn to read the Bible for all it's worth. If you miss it there, you're going to miss it everywhere. And this is one of the things that we are constantly harping on at the Christian Research Institute. It is that we need to not only say God has spoken and that the Bible is the infallible repository of His words, but if God has spoken, the attendant question is, what has God said? We need to learn to read the Bible for all it's worth. By the way, that reminds me, we have a resource called The Third Day, which is very helpful in this regard, because when we talk about the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, we also believe in our physical resurrection. And therefore, and by the way, Paul says if we don't have that as a hope, we have no hope. Might as well eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die. But in that regard, I have written a book called The Third Day. And again, you have the evidence, not only for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but the assurance of your resurrection as well. Also have this available in a flip chart, 4x6 laminated flip chart, gives you evidence for the resurrection, the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, as well as the assurance of your own physical resurrection as well. Both resources available for your gift to the ministry this month. We need many of you to stand with us prayerfully and financially. You can do that on the World Wide Web at equip.org, via the phone at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and by talking to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. Have a full board going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls. So if you're hanging on, do be patient. I will try to get to you as soon as possible in the next hour. And if you want to call, you can start calling right now for the next hour. 888-ASK-HANK is the number to dial. And again, let me urge you, during this month, to stand with us prayerfully and financially. Without you on the team, we're not going to make it. We need you part of the team, making a difference for time and for eternity. So long.
Get ready to set sail for the adventure of a lifetime. Don't miss our Western Caribbean cruise May 9th through 16th. Sailing out of Tampa Bay, Florida, you'll join Hank Hanegraaff and award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp for 7 packed days of worship and study on board the stately Carnival Legend. Incredibly low rates include all conference fees, accommodations, and dining. Dates in May make it a perfect way to honor mothers or celebrate special graduates. So for more information or to register today, go to our website at equip.org or call our friends at Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise Audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.